This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I want to start this morning with talking about the basketball team, and they finally end their losing streak, so there's some positivity, right? I don't know necessarily what they're playing for at this point, but they beat a team in Ole Miss that looks like they're going to the NCAA tournament. They won it 74-73 with, like everyone thought would happen, Jalen Harris hitting a go-ahead bucket to win the game. I think we all predicted that one before the game started.
Right.
But it was a back-and-forth game. It wasn't necessarily the most well-played game, but it was still a win and still a victory for Arkansas. And it was really, the story of it was Mason Jones coming off the bench, getting 22 points, 6 of 8 from three-point land, Daniel Gafford adding in 17, and Jalen Harris getting 10. You got to give it up to Mason Jones. And sometimes it's just amazing how the type of player he is, where he can go for 22 or 30 on any given night, but he can also go for 2 or 3 points. I mean, just the inconsistency from him, where you get excited about him because you're like, man, if you can see the ability of what he has, if he's capable of doing that, that at least makes you a little excited. And as well as, and as great as the game was, and I know a lot of Razorback fans were there and they were excited with the ending, and I know Mike Anderson and his team were excited about ending that losing streak, the real conversation came down to the celebration of the 1994 national championship team. And how it was the 25th anniversary, and how the whole weekend was stocked full of press conferences and little meetings and events that people had a chance to see Nolan Richardson and to see some of the former players, not all of them, but some of the former players that made it in. And then at halftime of the Arkansas Ole Miss game, they had a little honoring of the 94 team. Nolan Richardson got on the microphone, said some comments, and that was pretty much it. And I got to say, I'm no marketing expert. I'm no expert on how these events should go. I'm not an event planner, but I was really disappointed with the entire event of the celebration of the 94 national championship team.
Are you talking about what occurred at halftime disappointed you, or?
Well, yeah, mainly halftime, but I just think the overall event the weekend was disappointing to me.
Because there should have been more public access throughout, because there's only so much you can do. Well, you get 15 minutes for halftime or 12 or 13. I mean, you only got about 7 to 10 minutes total.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to knock it out of the park, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to really have a grand celebration in less than 10 minutes.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's like,
halftime is just not the place to...
Yeah, you're limited on halftime.
Let everybody speak and let everybody have a moment. It's not like the Super Bowl parade or something, you know, a championship parade where you've got to hard out here. Mm-hmm. You've got to be done because the second half has to begin.
Yeah, but there should have been something that either, because I know they did some stuff before the game, but it wasn't open to everybody. Like, not everybody could just walk, because it had it at the practice facility. It wasn't open to everybody. And I don't know if it should have happened maybe before the game or after the game had ended, where they could stuck around and could have, but it just seemed like it was for something that's a 25-year, because listen, it's one thing for a 15-year or whatever, but 25 years is usually a pretty monumental anniversary for anything. I mean, your 25th mm-hmm. anniversary when you're married is always pretty monumental, and with all the things that went along with it, it just didn't seem to have the pomp and circumstance that I was hoping it did. There was no honoring. I think that was what a lot of people were talking about, why they were upset with it. There was no honoring of Nolan Richardson when it comes to naming a court or statue or anything like that. A lot of his former players were speaking out against that, is saying that, listen, he has to have it named, there has to be something, but there was nothing. And so it just seemed like another random, hey, let's get together, a few players here and there, say hi to all the fans, and then move on from it. There just wasn't anything to go along with it that really stood out to me, because I know they did one back in 09 for the 15-year anniversary. That one was really well done. That one was awesome. But, again, when you don't have Corliss Williamson out there, you don't have Scottie Thurman out there because both of them are coaching, I can kind of understand that, too, when you lose out on those
guys. But you got to remember, 09 was the first time they celebrated this team publicly.
Yeah.
So 09 was the first time that this team had been honored. It wasn't a 5 or a 10. 15 was the first time because of the strenuous relationship, mm-hmm. we'll say. The stressed parting of the ways between Nolan and the university. It took a change in athletic administration, of course, to bring that along in 09. So So there hadn't been, I mean, this is only the second time you've really brought all of those players and Coach Richardson and everybody together to do something publicly.
Yeah, and I just felt like the ball was dropped on him. I was
so
just
what
not
was
impressed.
Missing then?
I just felt like there should have been something that the general fan should have more access to and more ability to celebrate with him and to see him and to hear from some of the players from their perspective.
It seems as though from a lot, not just your perspective, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from reading Twitter, everyone was mad. Everyone was disappointed. Everyone felt let down because there wasn't this grand surprise of putting Nolan Richardson's name on the floor.
I think that was
part
of it.
It was that or
yeah.
bust. Anything short of that, they could give everyone in the crowd a championship ring from 94. Wouldn't have mattered with real diamonds. Wouldn't have mattered. The only thing that was going to satisfy the masses was an announcement that Nolan Richardson's name would be put on the floor.
Yeah. And I wasn't even of the party that said it had to be a name on the floor. But I was at least hoping for something. Like, just put a statue of him outside the thing. Rename Leroy Pond Nolan Richardson Street or something like that. You know,
who
just
is
have
Leroy
some,
Pond, by the way? I need a little educational there.
There's not even a pond over there, so what does it matter? but that's my point, is that you can have other ways of honoring. You don't have to name the court. I think that's just the one that everyone looks towards because you see, like, Oklahoma State has Eddie Sutton Court. I mean, you have all these great coaches that have the court named after them. So, but no, it was just disappointing that there wasn't anything like that on Saturday. Nothing.
But that's also the world we live in. It's either got to be over the top or it's a total bust anymore. That's just I think that's the instant gratification Twitter world we're all living in. If it isn't some kind of grand announcement, grand stunt, grand event, grand something with anything, whether it's this or anything else, if there's a big crescendo, then the whole thing's terrible. It sucks.
Oh, it wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't. It just, you didn't. I felt like
I'm just not sure, other than wanting to get that name on the floor, what grand thing you're going to do to make a 25th anniversary celebration just, you know, over the top wonderful. There's nothing new here. This isn't a new story. They didn't win it again. This is just a family reunion, if you will.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like the fans got enough of an access to it, and maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe that people felt like it was fine as much as they got, but I know that the media was able to talk to a few of the players, and they had a few of the events go on too, but it just...
Hang on, access for what? Because people don't show up for autographs. Kids show up for autographs. People don't show up for autographs anymore.
There would be a lot of people, though, show up for autographs. If it was any indication back in 2009, I remember you couldn't get through the concourse because there were so many people out there for autographs.
You got to remember, and that was 10. I just don't think we're in an autograph. Maybe I would never stand in. There are not very many people I'd stand in line to get an autograph from. There's no one on that basketball team I'm going to stand in line to get an autograph from. And you got to remember, anyone under the age of, I mean, you're 30 and you were 6 when this occurred. I mean,
yeah.
Kids aren't going to stand in line to meet most of this team. Which, by the way, if you'd had something, you know, in the second half, the players are available in the concourse. Well, you don't want to take away from the game atmosphere. If you did it before the game, Scotty Thurman's not going to be there. Corliss wasn't even there for the weekend. Corey Beck didn't. I mean, 3 of your starting 5 were. I mean, people might show up for Nolan Richardson's autograph, but I mean, we're just not in a world where I think people seek autographs like they once did.
Yeah, and maybe not, but I don't at know, least had the opportunity to do
that's
it.
That's my
though.
Opinion. Yeah. You know? But maybe that's because I wouldn't give you 2 rips about most people's autographs.
But do you think people would stay in line to get pictures with them?
Not pictures, but selfies.
No, selfies, whichever. Something they can post on Instagram?
Yeah.
I mean, just something like that. And it doesn't.
And those are hard to do.
I wouldn't say it would have been successful, but just give the fans some sort of opportunity. Yeah. To be able to, you know, have pictures or autographs or whatever, just to be able to hear from some of those players and maybe, you know, shake their hand, maybe whatever. I mean, it just, for one of those celebrations, I just felt like it was a real big letdown. And again, I'm going to be honest about it. One of the things that attributed to that letdown was the fact that there was no honoring of Nolan in any capacity. No, you know, no statue, no street name, no court naming, no nothing. I mean, it just, that's what you were hoping for. That's what I was hoping for. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I still just had a little slight glimmer of hope, hoping that it would.
His name's up in the rafters, right?
Yeah, he has that little banner. Him and Bill Clinton.
And Eddie Sutton.
Yeah.
So, Was that around? That wasn't around the 15th. That was for something else.
Yeah, that was for the honoring of the Final Four teams.
Right.
That had all made it there when Eddie Sutton came back.
Right. I'm saying that didn't have anything to do with the 25th. So you've got his name hanging in the rafters. I don't have any issue with putting his name on the floor. You can't name the building after him.
No, you can't.
You could name the practice facility, I guess. It didn't have a name on it, does it?
I don't think it does.
I don't think it does. But that wouldn't really seem...
that he wasn't there to build that practice facility.
Yeah. He wasn't there. I mean, that doesn't seem like... That seems like foot in glove. It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't what? You know.
Yeah.
But...
He's giving
I mean, I'm fine with that because every coach up there that has won a national title in one of the major sports has something honoring them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just seems fitting to me and equitable to me that you would name the floor or something, or at a minimum, a statue outside of the arena.
Yep.
Telling the story.
Yep. Frank Broyles has one. John McDonald has one. Warren Richardson needs one. I mean,
I'm not in opposition to this.
Yeah. But I just don't know if it's ever going to happen. And that's the unfortunate.
Well, I mean, never's a big word.
It is.
Follow the show on Twitter at Hit That Line AR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Razorback basketball got their victory against the Ole Miss Rebels 74-73. Mike Anderson talking about the win and also having the 1994 team there to root them on.
Some of the national championship guys, you know, I think Clint McDaniel and Elmo Martin. I always let those guys come in and just kind of share their experiences or, you know, observation. And one of the things that I think Clint made the statement, you know, that, you know, we played here 25 years ago. Obviously, we did some great things, but now we live through you guys now. And I thought it kind of resonated with our guys. And then they also talked about, you know, one thing about Razorbacks, man, nobody outworks us, man. They can't outwork us. And so we talk about the finish to the game. You know, our guys, they worked to win this game. So from that standpoint of getting the win and having them here and having guys that understand, you know, what it takes to win a national championship in the audience, I think that's special.
I think that was one of the more important things is that Arkansas actually won this game, because how big of a downer would that would have been if they would have lost this game. And in fact, maybe there's something about honoring the 94 team, because in each of these, you had it at the 15, you had it at the 20, and you had it at the 25th, where they had these games honoring. Arkansas's 3-0 against those teams. And even in the first one in 15, when there was the 15th anniversary, Arkansas played Georgia. They had only won one SEC game at that point. That was John Pelfrey's second year. They won that game, and that was their second SEC win against Georgia. So something about it, too. But I think that that's also kind of one of the things that fans enjoy, and at least enjoy hearing, is that some of these old 1994 National Championship players come into these locker rooms and talk to these players, have relationships, or at least have some words of wisdom to some of these players of what they went through. But I've always been curious about how the players feel about it when these guys come in. Because I'm sure, unless you're an Arkansas fan, unless you're born and raised in Arkansas, like maybe Daniel Gafford probably understands it a little more. Or maybe they have heard it a little more from Mike Anderson and the coaches talking about those days and talking about those players and what they were able to do. But I'm just always been curious about what type of reaction do a lot of these players have that didn't know Arkansas Razorback basketball, didn't know the history, didn't know that they won a national championship. Because let's be honest, none of them were alive when Arkansas won the national championship.
Well, I'm saying that, you know, we talked earlier about the crowd and it being scanned tickets of less than 10,000, let's say 99.42. You know, the longer this goes on, the more of the fan base doesn't have that direct connection.
Mm.
Yeah, they can read about it. They can watch the game. They can, you know, listen to guys like Mike Irwin and Clay Henry and others, you know, tell behind the scenes stories about the 94 team, but there's still no replacing that. I was there. I remember where I was at, being in the moment. I mean, I was 18 when it happened. So, I mean, there's a lot of the fan base, and the more this goes on, when you get to 30 years and 35, then that number's just growing about fans that weren't there. I don't have the same connection to the 64 national championship team the way my dad did. Why? Because he was alive for it. He was there to experience it and can tell tales about being at games and hey, we went to the Cotton Bowl for, you know, for this game. And it just different ones that he could, you know, he had that memory, that connection, you know. I think as this wanes on, it doesn't have the same impact.
No, it doesn't have the same impact. And when you have kids, because Ty, you weren't around. Because when were you born? In
94, but yeah, so not born yet.
Okay, so you
occurred in what, March or April?
Right, so you weren't even born. So what you know about the 94 team and all that season, just things that you've been told in like watching highlights, right?
I've watched the entirety of the game because it's on.
Right, and you grew up a Razorback fan, yeah. So part of that comes along with it too. But how many of your friends, when you went to school, the guys that you went with, talked about it with them?
Out of state, like no one knew.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of worrisome. And that's why I appreciate the constant reminder of this team, is that you are getting farther and further away, so people are trying to remind you, hey, this is what you were, this is where the greatness came from. But there's going to be at some point in time where it's no longer going to be nostalgic, it's almost going to be sad. It's almost going to be the part where if you're not competing at that same high level, if you're not going to be able to get into the NCAA tournament all the time, and maybe even have gotten to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, which you've yet to do, that's what people are going to be looking at. Is it's no longer going to be, okay, this is getting sad, because you're getting so far away from it that not only are you having people not remember it, but then when you're trying to explain it to people too of what how great it was, they're going to be like, okay, cool, who cares? Because it was so long ago. I have to go to YouTube and watch it. They just haven't been relevant for that long. And that's where it's like, at what point in time do you stop doing these honorings? Stop doing this constant reminder of this team? Because it's great. And for the fans that were there, it's great for them. But I don't think anybody who wasn't there really cares as much.
I think you continue to do them at big decade marks as long as members of that team are willing to come back and be a part of it.
So just as long as they keep wanting to do it, just keep doing it?
And it wouldn't surprise me at some point in the future, there's some connections with that team to your staff like you have now. I mean, I know Mike and Scotty were obviously parts of that team, coaching and playing. You know, there may be other guys that were part of that team. You know, is it unforeseeable that Corliss Williamson could be an assistant coach here someday or perhaps even more? I don't know. I mean, he's obviously got coaching experience at the NBA level. Would that be something that would even interest him? I don't know. But that's not a outlandish thought to have, you know.
Are you even doing to this level of honoring if Mike Anderson's not the head coach?
Right.
I mean, are you even going through all of these systems and these processes if Mike's not the coach?
The 25th, something special. And you brought this up earlier, whether it's a wedding anniversary, work anniversary, national championship anniversary, 25 and 50 years are two very, you know, special milestones following a major accomplishment.
Yeah. I'm talking like that's fine, but I'm just saying just the honorings.
Should there be a 30? I think is what you're asking.
Right.
Should there be a 35th? Should there be, you know, it's not for me to decide, you know.
And it's
not going to be the difference in me going to the game or not going to the game on a Saturday.
Right. I mean, do you think Nolan Richardson comes to games still if not Mike Anderson's not the coach?
I think he'd probably do something, maybe not on the same level, but a day around the 30th. I mean, again, Nolan at that point will be, what, 82? I mean, I think you keep doing this as long as Nolan's willing and able.
Yeah.
Because there will come a day that, you know, Father Time will have his say. And it's just the way it is. I mean, when you're 77, there's only so many more of these, and you – Nolan's such a special figure to so many in the fan base. So I think you don't want to miss those opportunities to honor him, and whether it's naming the court, whether it's honoring the championship team, whether it's honoring, you know, I guess next year would be, 30 years from his first Final Four at Arkansas.
Yep.
The 1990 team. So when he accomplished so much, there's always something to honor.
And in the next 5 years, which would be the 30th, it also comes back to, okay, what is Arkansas basketball going to look like in 5 years? I mean, are you still going to be the same program that's struggling to get it to the second weekend, maybe struggling to get to the NCAA tournament? Is Mike Anderson still going to be the head coach? I mean, what's the relationship going to be
like? I do think it's important because of what we said at the beginning of the segment. As the years go on, more of the fan base, like Ty, he was born in 94. He doesn't really have that direct connection. The more you can have these honorings, when it makes sense, the more you educate the fan base about what all of this is about.
Mm-hmm.
the heritage and the history and what is at the foundation of the program. It's the same reason you do some of the things you've done around the 64 team in football.
But nobody remembers or even cares much about the 64 National Championship much anymore. I mean,
I think the older the fan base, the more they care.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you have to have start, and this is why success is so vital and so important to be able to have it, especially at your main programs, is because at least with football, there's been times, like, you know, the couple of years under Bobby Petrino or when Darren McFadden was running, you've at least had recent history and recent memory of Arkansas being a really great team, a top five caliber team. Happened in the past 10 years, 10 to 15 years. Of course, we know what baseball's done, but it's just basketball is the one sport that has not been able to get to that level to where people can at least look back at a recent season and say, man, remember how great that team was? Remember how close we were? You don't even have that. You haven't made the Sweet 16 in so long, and that's what makes it so frustrating for fans and why a lot of them probably cling on to those memories is because they have no new memories to cling on to. They don't have any great moments to remember. They just have what people like Ty's age and younger see is they see a very average basketball program with a very average team and no real great players.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Good morning, Tom. How was the weekend, man?
Well, it was a cold weekend, but we're all well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. Well, so I hope you're staying warm up there in Northwest Arkansas right now, because I saw it's 5 degrees. So hopefully you got plenty of heat in your house.
We've got the heat on, man, but I don't know. I heard it was 7. So
a heat wave.
Might be having us 2 degrees colder.
might be. There's no telling about the wind chill. But let's talk about what all happened over the weekend, starting with the Razorback basketball team getting the victory over the Ole Miss Rebels in a really fun fashion. Jalen Harris hitting the last second shot, not last second, but a late shot there to give Arkansas the lead, and then Arkansas's defense came up big in the next possession. It ends that losing streak. I don't know exactly what it changes, but I know that it was good for the fans and good for Mike Anderson to get a win not only against a team like Ole Miss, but get a win at Bud Walton Arena when they were honoring the 94 National Championship team too.
Yeah, very, very much needed, and I'll tell you what it changes. Imagine if they had lost the game. People would not be happy. And, you know, you want to come out there when you're honoring all those guys and feel like their presence was, a difference-making, or their presence was respected. And so the irony of Jalen Harris coming off of just a really rough game against Kentucky and then having the ball in his hands, because they didn't want some other guys to beat him. They didn't want one of the deep three guys, Mason Jones, who was hot in that game, or Isaiah Joe, to beat him. And Jalen Harris saw the opening and a defender fall or a defender, get his ankle hung up, and he took the lane. And he made it high-arching enough so Olenichik couldn't block it. And it went in there for him. And, still there was a lot of time left on the clock. So I give the Razorbacks credit for getting way up in there and pressuring Ole Miss back in the backcourt, and Olenichik making a really tough pass. And Tyree was going really fast, and he back-shouldered him, and he kind of short-armed him. And Gabe got the pass, and the Arkansas defense paid off in the end.
I think more than anything, Tom, for me, just the fact that they broke the losing streak and did it on this day with all the pomp and circumstance and celebration of the 25th anniversary of the national championship team. To me, the most important thing they did was they got a conference win again.
Exactly. And, my thoughts on this team, think about it. They went to Kentucky and, save for, some tough calls at the end of the game, had a chance to win and won at LSU. So those are two of your three teams that are vying for the conference championship and their road games. It just kind of goes to show you the mercurial nature of this team in that if they had just been able to hang on and win a couple of home games, an A&M game comes to mind, Mississippi State game comes to mind, couple of others, the Florida game now. That would be a nice win if they had beaten Florida. Mm-hmm. And then they'd be, you know, certainly a middle of the pack team in the conference, probably in the tournament. But they didn't do that. And now they have to go. And I'll tell you what, this Vanderbilt game, y'all, you know they've circled this on their calendar because they had the lead late in this game. Of all the games they almost won, the Tennessee game at home and this game here at Walton Arena were probably Vandy's two most winnable league games.
Mm-hmm. To Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, I talked about it on the show this morning. I wanted your thoughts. I was kind of underwhelmed with the national championship celebration. I know that there were events on Friday night, had a little bit before Saturday, and then they had halftime. And you can only do so much during halftime. I get all that. But just given the way that this team is honored, it's the 25th anniversary. Maybe it was because no honor had happened to Nolan. But I was just really underwhelmed by the whole thing and was kind of disappointed by it all.
Yeah, that was a big topic of conversation Saturday. And I went downstairs when the ceremony was getting started and watched it on the TVs and there gathering my stuff and heading to baseball. But folks who were there and then what I saw on TV, you know, you're right. There's only so much you can do. I know that Coach Richardson spoke a few words, which was key. It wasn't an over the top thing. It wasn't super scintillating. But it was nice to see all the guys on campus. And, you know, Bob Story told it all that the guys beat Mike Anderson into the locker room to celebrate with the team. So from the standpoint of being here for the guys and all that, it was key. And, of course, what's being unsaid here is whether or not Nolan Richardson Court should be named. And I think at some point it should. But I guess they determined that day was not the day.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of conversation we can get to there. I want to get to some spring football because that began Friday and a couple of practices over the weekend. Just some early thoughts and obviously a lot of focus and a lot of people paying attention. I know you had some video up of Ben Hicks throwing some footballs around. Just your thoughts early on of what we've seen from Chad Morris's second spring practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say this. In my 20 minutes of viewing, you know, the first thing I noticed was that just in the pitching and catching part of it, I thought there was more on-target passing. The quarterbacks and receivers seemed to be in a better sync than they were in the first practices that we saw last spring. And I'm talking about completion percentage, those kinds of things. And that's just against air. And obviously there's a lot more left to go to make them a smooth operating offensive unit. Another thing, Connor Nolan was not there, and I think even if he had been, you know, Ben Hicks, clearly, he was brought in to help lead the quarterback room, to help lead the team, and he said as much when he spoke that day. And, you know, he's kind of a laid-back Texan, and it's going to be the dynamic of how he interacts with the other quarterbacks in the offense is going to be intriguing to watch. But it was clear when they moved their drills to different parts of the field, he would be the first guy up, and he's a veteran guy. So it's kind of wild that, you know, in the course of one off season, you bring a graduate transfer in, and he's holding that standing with the team.
Well, we know that Nick Starkle took an official visit over the weekend too. Apparently, it went really well. Arkansas likes their chances of him getting added to the mix there, quarterback. Because I think it's safe to say that it's what Ben Hicks or maybe Nick Starkle is going to be the starters next year. Starting next year, it seems like those are going to be the two options for Arkansas. I'd be surprised if it was anybody else.
Well, at this stage of the game, I think that would be an accurate statement. And you're right; they do feel really good about Starkle. It seems to be that he's going to be headed this way, probably earlier rather than later. And based on his experience and background, you know, he's got more playing time than these other guys. So, yeah, it would be wild. And it may be that the most playing time is had between those two guys.
Quickly, let me get to some baseball before we get out of here. Sweep of Stony Brook, got five games scheduled for this week. your thoughts on the how they looked against Stony Brook. Obviously got three wins, but then some cold weather has moved in and probably threatening at least playing tomorrow in Fayetteville.
Yeah, and they played in the cold weather all weekend, too. I mean, I guess it was in the mid to high 30s, and, you know, it wasn't super pleasant, but a few things. Isaiah Campbell's start in the first game of the series was just phenomenal. That's the kind of performance that the ace of your staff needs to provide. Still answers to go with the other places in the rotation. You know, Cody Scroggins got his second shot at it. Jacob Kosti's shock, obviously, still in the mix, in my view. And then Connor Nolan, two good starts. And then in this game, he just wasn't locating. I mean, he just wasn't in command as he had been in the others. Leadoff guy got on all four innings against him. And really, to minimize the damage to three runs while he was in there was actually pretty good based on the number of base runners they had. The designated hitter spot has got to be more productive. Matt Goodhart and Trey Harris have gotten shots at it. Wouldn't be surprised if one day along the way they might try both catchers in the game, because Opitz has been really good, and Zach Plunkett hasn't hit as well, but he's a guy who gives you the potential of great power when he ties into one. It's kind of like a Spanberger back in the day. So the on-base percentage good, the running, stolen bases, taking advantage of fielders and pitchers' times to the plate has been really good. They're going to be a team that scores a lot of runs based on that. Some of the stars doing pretty good. Casey Martin, looks to me like Kerstad got his stroke back a little against Stony Brook with six hits. But, you know, still answers that need to be made. And Dave Van Horn, talking to the Swatters Club today, will lay it all out there for you. I'd love to hear him dissect this team.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate it, Tom. Great stuff. Looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday, my man.
All right. Talk to you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.